Charles Brewster Ross, affectionately known as Charlie, was just a four-year-old boy when this incident occurred. He was born on May 4, 1870, and had an older brother named Walter, who was 5 years old. The boys were the sons of Christian K. Ross and a woman whose name was never revealed. She was not involved in the case, and information pertaining to her may have been lost as the story passed down from generation to generation. On the morning of July 1, 1874, the brothers were playing outside their home in Germantown, an upper-middle-class neighborhood in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. A horse-drawn carriage stopped in front of them. Inside sat two men, one of which spoke to the kids. "Hello, boys. How are you? Do you like sweets? I have a huge bag full of them here." "Yes, we do." "Do you also like firecrackers?"
"Yes, yes, we love it."
"If you come with us, you can keep all the sweets and firecrackers. For us today, the imminent danger is obvious. But we need to remember that this event happened at the end of the 19th century, in 1874. A few minutes later, inside of the carriage, the kidnapper spoke to the oldest boy, Walter.
"I can't find the firecrackers here in the carriage, but I have 25 cents. Go to this store, buy whatever firecrackers you want for you and your brother to play with and come back. We will be here waiting for you."
He got out of the carriage and entered the store. As soon as he entered, the men left quickly, taking Charlie and leaving Walter behind. The boy, in despair, returned home and told his parents what had just happened. Christian immediately called the local authorities. It didn't take long for the kidnappers to send ransom demands. The family received several letters. The strange thing is that the letters had different postage origins. The poor handwriting suggested that they had been written by a semi-literate person. The language was overly simplistic, and there were many spelling errors. The first letter said, "Mr. Ross, do not be uneasy about your son, Charlie Brewster. He is all right. We have him, and there is nothing that you can do about it. You will have to pay us before you get him back. And pay us a lot of money too. If you alert the cops, you are only hurting Charlie. If you do something, there will be nothing on earth that can get him back alive. If any approach is made to find his hiding place, that will be the signal for his instant annihilation. If you have any regard for his life, don't tell anyone to look for him. Only your money will get him out of this alive and nothing else. Don't deceive yourself and think the detectives can get him from us, for that is impossible. You will hear from us again in a few days." Another 22 ransom notes were sent, and all warned against police intervention and threatened Charlie's life if Christian did not cooperate. The kidnappers assumed that the family was rich because of their large house and their small dry and wet store, a term used for small businesses that sold a little bit of everything in one place, such as food and clothes. Through the newspapers, the family offered a reward of $20,000, around $400,000 today. Replies sent by the family to the mailing addresses never received a response. They received letters, but no replies to their communications. The kidnapping soon became national news, yet weeks, then months passed and no one found little Charlie. On the night of December 13th of that same year, in Brooklyn, New York, the home of a judge named Charles Van Brunt was robbed. Holmes Van Brunt, Charles's brother, lived next door. He noticed movement in Charles's house and gathered some armed companions to catch the intruders in the act. Holmes's group entered Charles's house and took down the two robbers by firing several shots. The robbers, William Mosher and Joseph Douglas, were professional criminals who had recently been released from prison. William was killed instantly, Joseph survived but was badly injured. While waiting for the police, he laughed and spoke out of context. He bragged about his crimes and confessed about little Charlie. He said that he and his partner had kidnapped the boy and killed him. He laughed and said that no one would ever find him. Joe did not give any more clues as to the boy's location or details of the crime before he himself died soon after. Charlie's brother Walter, just 6 years old at the time, was taken to New York City to view the bodies of the robbers to determine if they were the men from the carriage. Once there, he said,
"Yes, it's them. It's my brother. Did you find him?"
For most, the question of who the men in the carriage were was resolved, but Charlie was still missing. In 1876, 2 years after the kidnapping, Christian published a book about the case titled The Father's Story of Charlie Ross, The Kidnapped Child, in order to raise money to continue searching for his son. In 1878, media interest in the case began to wane. To renew interest, Ross reprinted the book and began giving short talks about parenting, so that other people wouldn't make the same mistakes he made. Over the years, Christian and his wife created a database to gather information about missing children. As at that time, everything was handled by the police. They created the first voluntary collection and distribution project on such cases. This database, named the Charlie Project, still exists today. Christian and his wife continued to search for their son until their deaths. Christian died in 1897 and his wife in 1912. Over the years, they followed leads and interviewed more than 570 boys, teenagers, and later adult men who claimed to be Charlie. But they all had no connection with the facts. They were simply imposters looking for attention. In 1924, newspapers began publishing stories about the case to coincide with the 50th anniversary of the kidnapping. Walter was already an adult and worked as a stock exchange broker. In interviews, he said that he still received letters from middle-aged men claiming to be his brother. While this at first brought hope, as time went by, it became a nuisance. Hope was always destroyed. For more than a century, the kidnapping of little Charlie remains unsolved. But many say it was because of this case that today we have the old saying, never accept sweets from a stranger.
Hey, você se interessa por crimes reais, serial killers, coisas macabras e tem um senso de humor um tanto quanto sórdido? Se sim, você não está sozinho.
Se você precisa de um lugar recheado de pessoas como você, venha conhecer o podcast Pátria Amada Criminal.
Todas as semanas tentamos entender o pior da humanidade.
Nesse processo a gente ri, chora, fica brava, fofoca, porque afinal de contas é assim que a gente fala quando está entre amigos.
Suas novas melhores amigas trevosas estão aqui no Pátria Amada Criminal.